If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Matthew. Anybody notice anything? Does anybody notice anything? Heard about that? Heard about that? You know, I was going to preach on God's love. Tonight I'm preaching on the judgment of God. It's right. Thanks, Stuart. I can't wait to do your funeral and look in the casket and say, he looks so natural. Oh, brother. My jacket got left in the car, and I was trying to find the key, sent people to get it. My wife ended up, she had the key with her. And so Brother Steve said, here, take mine. And so you couldn't see my hands for the song service. And then I'm reaching up here, and I didn't have my glasses. I mean, you know, I didn't have anything I needed. And so we did a little switch around during one of the songs. So that's what happened. And heard about a man came home from church, and his wife said, did you see Mrs. Jones's new dress? And he said, no. Did you notice Miss Smith's new hairdo? He said, no. She said, why do you even bother coming to church? And so you want to be observant. So Matthew chapter number 3, if you will, Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to speak on the subject of temptation tonight. We could call it meet your tempter or meet your enemy. As we head into summertime, oftentimes summer can be a tragic time because of idleness. Kids out of school, all the advertisements, you know, everyone's going on vacation, everyone's going out of town, we think. Everyone's happy, they've got all this money. And then sometimes the weather bothers us. We get a little more irritable with the heat, just like wasps do. And so there's a lot of things. We can get lazy. And as soon as, Pastor, you know how hot it got today? That's why we're not at church. And so, you know, it's the weather. It's out of schedule. And school's out. And thinking everyone's traveling somewhere. And so I want to kind of nip that in the bud a little bit tonight. And just remind us of our enemy. We have three. The Bible talks about one is our flesh. It's us. D.L. Moody said, the greatest battle I have is the guy I shave every morning. Amen. He said, that's my biggest battle. Second is the world system, the pressure to conform to be like them. But the third is an actual living enemy. And we call him Satan, or we call him the devil. Many, many names. And I want to kind of take his mask off tonight so we can recognize him real well so you can know and sense his presence. Amen. It's hard to fight someone you cannot see. And so we need to see how he's working. So notice, please, in Matthew chapter 3, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And I love these two little passages. But John the Baptist appears in chapter 3. He's preaching. And then he baptizes Jesus. Notice Jesus was baptized not by John the Methodist, not by John the Presbyterian, not by a Catholic priest. It was John the Baptist. First name John, last name Baptist, middle name the. Okay, so just a little humor. But Matthew 3, look down please in verse number 15. Jesus answering said unto him, said to John the Baptist, suffer it or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him or allowed him to be baptized. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So obviously he was not sprinkled. He went down into the river. We're going to lay down our burdens down by the riverside. He went into the river, got baptized, came out of the river. So we believe it was submersion. Baptized means to bury. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. What happens when a person obeys the Lord? This is free. You start seeing things that others don't see. Then it said, and the Holy Spirit landed on him in the form of a dove. You start feeling some things others don't feel. And then the voice from the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You start hearing things that others don't hear. Amen. Did you hear that tonight? No, I didn't hear it. When you're obedient to the Father, You get bonus life. You get to enjoy some things others don't. So then Jesus, he's baptized. Everything's great, right? He's obedient. He's humbled himself. He's baptized. Now he ought to go preach and build the church, correct? Wrong. Chapter 4, verse 1. Look at the next word. Then. Then. Was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? It's always at the beginning, folks. Jesus made a spiritual decision. I'm entering ministry. I'm getting baptized. Here we go. We're going for everything. Then the tempter showed up. It'll happen. It's always at the first of summer. It's always the first of college. Hey, I'm going off to Bible college. I bet it was easy for you, wasn't it, Brother Lawrence? That welcome wagon at the college and big banner, Brother Lawrence is here. And you showed up. They gave you the best dorm and the best roommates in the college. And that's not how it happened for me. You have a flat tire on the way to college and your engine blows up. And then you find out the last check your boss gave you, it bounced. And now you can't pay your bill. And all the good classes are booked up, so you got to take the leftover classes. And nothing's going right. How oft have I heard it? People first go into ministry, first go to Bible college, and nothing's working out. It's typical. Then the tempter came. He comes, someone gets saved, then the tempter comes. The little plant gets planted, starts sprouting and growing, then the tempter comes to pull it up by the roots. You get baptized, then the tempter comes. You start teaching a class, then the tempter comes. Hey, I'm going soul winning every Saturday. Then the tempter comes and the schedule changes. We're having family altar. We're going to read the Bible with our kids. Then the tempter comes. It's always at the beginning. Right. Say, how come? You have less vested. You have less put in, less time put in, easier to quit at the beginning. Most marriages, when they belly up, it's the first year. It's the first year. I've often told married couples, the first 42 years are the hardest. If you can just get through the first 42, Brother Lawrence, you might make it. I mean, the first 42, it's tough. It's hard. Anyway, my wife's here. I have to be careful with this. But notice, now, notice this passage. So the tempter comes, and so many comments we can make, we'll make them in a moment. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, how many of you think Jesus might have been a little weak? It's when the tempter comes that you're weakest. Pastor, I'm just kind of weak right now. I'm not at my best. I've called pastors, and I've said, hey, what about? And they've said, don't ask me. I'm not at my best right now. I'm at a weak spot in my life right now. Jesus, at his weakest, he was hungered. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, you don't have to find temptation, he'll find you. You don't have to go to Las Vegas to find temptation. You don't have to go to some beer joint to find temptation. It'll find you. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, he's always questioning, you get it? God puts a period. Satan puts a question mark. He questions gender. He questions, should you really believe this? He questions the existence of God. He questions the Bible. Always a question mark. When the tempter came, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. That's your best defense right there. Just quote the Bible. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have to know the scriptures if you're going to quote the scriptures. So it's wise to meditate on scriptures where you're battling. Then the devil taketh them up to the holy city. Notice that ante is going up. No one in this room's probably ever gambled. Poker's a sin, gambling's a sin, all these gambling games. But the thing about poker, the ante goes up. You know how it is? Now it's going up, and that pot's getting bigger and it's getting better. Satan does the same thing. Satan says, oh, I can't get you with this little temptation. Let's raise the ante. Now let me try you with this one. Why? It's not about you and him. It's about him and God. He's trying to make God look bad. So we see the ante going up. He brings him up to the holy city, setteth them on a temple, a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest if any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. And I love what one of the other gospels says. It says, in a moment of time. I love that passage. What's it mean? It only takes the devil a few moments to show us everything he has to offer. But we'll be up in heaven for all eternity, Jesus just revealing to us all he has to offer. This world is short-lived, heaven's forever. And so he brought him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. He recognized where the temptations were coming from. He didn't just quote scripture. After a while, he said, hey, devil, get out of here. He knew where it was coming from. Now, do I know if he saw Satan? Scripture's not super clear on did he see a literal person there tempting him, or were the temptations out loud? Or were they fiery darts like us in our head? I don't know for sure, but I know this. He said, that's the devil doing that. And the sooner we recognize where it's coming from, half the battle's over. Half the battle's over. And then let me finish here quickly. And he says in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He could only take it so long. Now when Jesus heard that John, and then Jesus starts preaching. Notice from that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent. Verse 19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And the ministry starts. The devil's biggest deceit in society is that he doesn't exist. Some of the religious, quote, churches, even in our town, do not believe in a literal Satan. They believe it's a figure of speech or just an idea or it's the evil within us. But the Bible teaches in a literal fallen angel with a name and a personality, and evil permeates him, and it's the devil. Amen. Amen. In third world countries, he's not as subtle and not as hidden. Maybe you saw some of it when you were in Africa. When I was in Bolivia, I was told by people that lived there, when they built new homes, they wanted a human blood sacrifice for the foundation. And oft times they would look at homeless people and say, well, look at their life. It's nothing. Soon they would be missing off the streets. People believe they were used as a human sacrifice for the god of the underworld, Satan, to be pleased by their building. There were rows downtown of unborn llamas that were being sold for one reason, to be sacrificed to Satan. Now, you may not see that here in the States as much, but it's real in those third world countries. Here, he would rather be stealth. There is no Satan. Little guy in a red suit and a pitchfork. It's just a big joke. It's a comic. But third world countries, he is more seen and more visible. I want to give you just several facts about the enemy tonight, and we'll hasten. Three appearances he makes. Number one, in Genesis 3, where he appears. He's in the garden in the form of a... Help me. Oh, I forgot. Tim, you're the intern. Oh, sir. Okay, thanks. All right, good. $5 bonus at the end of the summer. Okay, at the end. No day off, but $5 bonus. Okay, good, good. You happy with that? Okay. What'd you say under your breath? No, I'm just kidding. So what did he do? Here's what he said. Yea, hath God said... Did he really say that? And we're not going to read all the passage. All these questions. How does he come? How do you know he's working on you? Doubts. Yes, amen. Well, I know I got saved when I was 16, but all of a sudden I'm just not sure anymore. Doubts. Doubts of who you are. Like I said again, doubt your gender. Well, maybe I gave a tract to someone yesterday. I promise you, I didn't know who they were. I couldn't tell. Man, woman, I couldn't tell. On the license plate of the car, it just said, just be you. But I don't know who you was. I couldn't figure it out. Used to, I'd say, hey, ma'am, take this. Hey, sir, give something to read. Hey, here's a, sir. Now I just say, hey, you. But doubts about gender, doubts about creation, public school, the big lie, evolution. We evolved. There's no God. The Bible's wrong. There's no eternity. All these lies that he's been telling. Doubts. In the book of Job, his second appearance, he appears before God and he's the accuser. He accuses you to you. Okay, and I'm talking to the servants tonight, those who've tried to witness, tried to win souls, tried to do something for God for years. You ever try to do something for God and it doesn't go very good? Whether it's teach a lesson and that lesson never got off the runway like an airplane. Here we are, prepare for takeoff. Yeah, and then you hit the trees. I've been there where it never took off. And that was the best lesson of the day. Now the song tonight was beautiful. Lori nailed it, hit it out of the park. But sometimes you may sing and hit a wrong note, and it's like, why did I even try? Remember years ago, Casey was singing a song, and they started in the wrong key. I think it was, proudly it waves, oh glory. But they started about, proudly it waves, oh glory. And it had like three key changes. Red is for blood, well, patriots. It was terrible. He was shooting for it, and it got worse. And, I mean, I was laughing. It was like, chalk it up. Worst song in history. But sometimes, you know, we'll laugh it off, but then it's, you know, that's true. Why should I even try? The little kid knew more than me. I ran the bus. We were shooting for 100. We had all these donuts. We had 6. There's going to be times where you're accusing. He's accusing you. You're going to have to be careful about it. It's not someone else beating you up. It's you. Let me encourage you. When someone drops the ball and they don't succeed in trying to do something for God, don't be the one that adds salt to the wound. They're already beating themselves up pretty bad. When someone has a failure in the church, you don't need to be the one to say, hey man, you failed. Just want to make sure you understand, you failed. They've already heard it 1,000 times from that fallen angel. So in the book of Job, he's the accuser. Even has his 3 best friends show up to say, hey, Job, we know you just buried your 10 kids and you're bankrupt, but we think you're a hypocrite. They came all the way there to tell, Brother Job, we think you're a hypocrite. Then another one, don't tell me nothing's wrong. We've never heard of this happening to anybody. You must have hidden sin. And boy, they start railing on him, accusing him. Then his wife, why don't you just curse God? I mean, every angle, the accuser. That's what he does. He tempts us to do wrong. We cross the line. Then he says, what kind of Christian are you? God ought to kill. That's who he is. Cross the line, you have fun. We cross over and we're condemned in our heart. You wonder why some people who get saved never come back here after a while? Because they do something wrong And they think I'm not as perfect as everybody else. And the old accuser is working on them. You ever greet someone who's been gone for a while? They come back. It's like, really? It's okay. You know, they thought we'd have a firing squad. Shoot him now. He's coming in the door. Okay, let's hurry. There's the doubts and questions, Genesis 3. In Job, there's the accusations. Then we have here in Matthew, there's the temptation. The temptation. Pastor, how does Satan tempt us? I want to give you this. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's people. I remember seeing commercials when I was a little kid, and they talked about drugs. How many adults are old enough you had drug education when you were in school? You had drug education. I was so old they had the slide projector. Beep, click, shh, this is a barbiturate. It will make you feel this way. Click, shh, this is LSD. It's a hallucinogenic. It will make you feel this way. Kids in my class are saying, wow, how do you get that? That looks good. And so they were educating them on evil. We never even heard of it. Now we're learning all about it. So we were warned. It's going to be somebody walk up to the school fence and say, come here. We have drugs. It wasn't that. It was the classmates. It was the friends. It was the people you already knew. Who does Satan use? People. Jesus told the disciples, he said, I'm going to be crucified and the Son of Man will die and rise again 3 days later. Simon Peter says, don't talk like that. Jesus quickly turned at him and said, get behind me. And then he called a name, Satan. Why? Satan was using even Simon Peter at that moment. He was being used. Who does he use? He uses people, a wife, Mrs. Job, discouraging her husband. A Bathsheba who just happened to be bathing at the time the king walked on the roof. Both were wrong. David shouldn't have been there. Who does he use? A Potiphar's wife. I'm lonely. I'm sure you are too. We could go on and on. Years ago, I'd worked for a long time to get a man to church. A certain man finally came to church. He walked in the lobby. As soon as he walked in the lobby, he spotted an old girlfriend who was visiting for the first time. They started talking and talking. Her eyes lit up. His eyes lit up. Church started. They walked out hand in hand. I've never seen him since. He happened to see someone. I wonder if the demons had anything to do with that. He's finally coming to church. He's going to have his life changed. He's going to get saved and serve the Lord. And the demons, get Griselda to church. And there she was. I don't know if that's her name, so please don't Google it. Pastor, is this Griselda? Sensing his presence, how can you tell he's around? I'll just give the words. Violence. When you see the looting in the streets and our cities being destroyed, Satan's right in the middle of that. Right, Mark 5 said the two demon-possessed men, they were violent and mighty fierce. Anytime there's violence, fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Pastor, I was just so overwhelmed with fear just to come to church. That's not God, that's the devil. Nudity. Oft times those demonized people were taking their clothes off. Next, confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Well, you know, I'm just so confused. I don't know if I'll stay married or not stay married. So much confusion. Well, you better wait till that confusion's gone. Satan's right in the middle of all of that stuff. So confused. Then I want to give you this one, the timing. Scripture says that a family was going to bring this demonized boy. Demonized? Is that a word? It is now. Sanitized, yes. Maybe he was a clean demon. I don't know. And so this demoniac, if you want that word. This boy had a demon, and he would throw himself in the water trying to drown himself. He'd throw himself in the fire to try to kill himself. Suicidal. Jesus said, bring him to me. And the Bible says, as he was yet a coming, the devil cast him down. He went into one of those epileptic fits. As he was walking, he was coming to Jesus, and he knocked him on the ground. Anytime someone's coming to Jesus, you can tell by the timing of interference that our enemy's there. You ever take someone through the gospel and it's, man, I'd like to get saved. Cell phone goes off, someone pulls up, someone comes out of the house, someone drops by. It's like, they were ready. That's him, the timing. We're about to give the invitation in church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. About 5 cell phones go off. That's not the timing. That's people who don't need a phone. Anyway, but it's that timing. The child gets sick. Guess when it gets sick? Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's Sunday morning. With visitors coming to church, Pastor, they were lined up to come and they needed the message that was preached. We had them lined up. What happened? Baby got sick, just coming out the door. Sometimes it's the timing. The timing. So how do you resist? Quickly. Consistency. 3 times Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Just consistency. Just get to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is what we do. Here's our. Here's what we do. Just consistent. Consistent. Number 2, schedule. Schedule. Albert Einstein, I've told you a million times, he had the watch, had no hands on it. Tim, you're new, so I can share this with you. I know you're excited about it. He pulled the hands off his watch. Albert Einstein, the genius. Someone said, Mr. Einstein, you don't have any hands on the watch. He said, it don't matter what time it is. It's time to work. He was asked, they said, so Mr. Einstein, what temptations tempt you? He said, temptation? I don't have time. I love that. Idle mind, devil's workshop. Parents, keep your kids busy this summer. Doesn't mean it has to be like an intern. I mean, don't abuse them, though. But there ought to be a schedule. Man, we're going to do this, and we got this plan, and we got some chores, but then we're doing it, and we're riding bikes, and we're playing horseshoes, and then we're going to build some sandcastles, and then we're going here, and we're Derek. Have a schedule. Busy. Let me just throw this out to you. Never drop your kids off at an idle place. Well, my kids like the mall. We're going to drop them off there for about 5 hours. Good luck. You may never see them again. You never want to drop them off where it's just idle people. Right. You did read about the graduate from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, right? U High, on his senior trip, loosely supervised, 300 seniors in the Bahamas. They were on this little side excursion, Blackbeard's pirate ship, in shark-infested waters that were ported. But there were so many of them that were drunk, that were out of control, celebrating their senior trip. One person dared this boy to jump. A few people grabbed him. He got loose. He jumped. Never saw him again. Idle. Idle. Careful. And then what else? How do you resist? Scripture. Just scripture, 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 scripture. The devil hates the Bible. You quote it enough, he's not going to hang around you. Just quote it and have it playing. Have it in your house and have it and have it and have it. You say, well, Pastor, what do I get if I resist these temptations and come out on the other end? Look at this, verse 11, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. How you like that? The devil said, I'm not getting anywhere with this guy. 3 times scripture. I'm done with you. He likes people that are easier. You may be going through a time of satanic attack and temptation. It's not permanent. It's a season. It'll be real hard. If you'll resist, he'll leave you alone. Resist the devil and he will flee. Not walk away, but flee from you. That's Bible. Angels will get involved. Notice it says, and the angels came and ministered unto him. We as Christians, when we resist our enemy, angels will show up and minister or serve us somehow. I don't know what all that means, but it sounds cool. I didn't see them, but I'm sure they're around. Pastor, I'm just going through this hard time in my life. Hey, guess what? You know, I wish I had some angel glasses like the 3D, 4D, heavenly, or hey, that's cool. Heavenly, and put them on. There's angels around you. They could even make a baseball show. Angels in the... No, let's not do that. Angels involved, number two. Then you have a message. You have something to say. Jesus never preached a message till after he resisted this temptation. And there it is in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had something to say. Once you go through a time of temptation, I'll say this. Sometimes temptation is temptation of sin. Sometimes it's temptation to cease. When my wife was in the hospital, there wasn't a whole lot of temptation to sin. Probably a lot of temptation just to cease. Why is this happening to us? Why our family? Why not our family? Happens to other families. I'll end with this. I've got a nice jacket on. It fits. Got the glasses. Then Jesus had leadership. Is it really worth battling temptation? Well, the devil has to run away from you. Next, angels end up around you. Next, you have something to say. Next, you have someone who's following. Jesus walked by the seashore and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Two guys quit their jobs and said, man, we're leaving our jobs to follow you. He stopped by another couple, got follow me, and they left their jobs. Leadership. Leadership comes when you go through something and word gets out, you made it on the other side, and people say, we want what you have. Amen. And that may be what God is doing in some of our lives, getting us through the temptation to quit, because we're not just wanting to lead someone, we want to lead someone to Christ. Amen. And then last, needs began to be brought to him. Verse 24, his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people, taken with divers diseases, torments, those who were possessed. People started coming to Jesus with their problems. Some of you already hear them all the time. People call you. Hey, what about this? Jonathan, can I tell him just a little bit about your neighbor? Okay. So, Jonathan, this week, his neighbor knocked on the door and said, I want to talk to you just a minute. By the way, can you explain the Trinity? That's kind of a reverse door knocking. You know, usually we knock on the door and say, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Rarely have I had someone knock on my door and say, can I ask you some Bible questions? You know what's happening? Someone's following. And it may be someone at work just watching your life. They know what you're going through and how you're going through it. And they want to see how you're doing that. There's a blessing getting through the times of temptation. Father, would you bless now our dear people?